Let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal, loving, heavenly Father, we come before thee, recognizing that thou art the almighty God. There is none beside. Father, it is thy word that we will read. Thy people shall receive it. And so all these things, Father, we receive from thee and give thee thanks. Father, from the words that would go forth to the recipient of these words, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would do his work and make that word perfected, and Lord, that we would receive it with grace and that we would magnify thy name. For we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to Peter's first epistle and read chapter number 4. 1 Peter, chapter number 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. As we would make a beginning this morning with a reading, I'd like to begin with the last verse that we read here together, verse number 19. Where it says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Truly, there are many key words here in this verse that could be brought forth, and it's in many ways a summary of the entire chapter that we read here together this morning. He speaks of suffering. And throughout this chapter, and actually throughout the epistles of Peter, he speaks of suffering, and that's a recurrent theme, speaking of the suffering of a Christian, one who believes in the Lord. And so he speaks here of sufferings, and so he says, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Again, another thought that comes earlier in this chapter, that we're doing these things, all things that we live out in our Christian walk of life, would be all according to the will of God. Not according to the will of men, not according to the will of ourselves, but according to the will of God. That we would commit the keeping of our souls to Him in well-doing. And note that he uses the word soul here, because our soul is eternal. Our mortal frame shall return to the dust from whence it came. It'll return, and it'll be gone. But our souls will not. Our souls will not. Our souls will live on throughout eternity. So we are to commit the keeping of our souls unto the Lord in well-doing. So we're suffering for the Lord as he's speaking here. But coupled with that suffering would be well-doing. That we would not simply just suffer for the Lord and not do any good. Neither would it be that we would simply just do good and then try to escape any suffering that would come our way. But these are to be coupled together. And he speaks of this throughout the chapter, that we would suffer for the Lord, even as Jesus Christ suffered, and that we would do well, that we would commit the keeping of our souls, which lives forever, in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Our faithful God, our faithful Lord, the founder of all things, the creator of all things, he who established all things, he who gave us our abilities. And yet we know that we have limitations on our abilities. That which we can sense of our physical being, that which we can sense, is simply limited when we think of the vastness and the splendor and the omnipotence of our God, the creator, the founder of all things. So we are to be partakers with the Lord, partakers with the Lord. Last Sunday morning, we had a message that was about active participation, active participation, active participation in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, active participation in the keeping of his word. And this morning also, active participation in the suffering with the Lord as well. The Lord suffered, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, and he suffered immensely. We are being called to be active participants in that suffering with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. So now going to the beginning of the chapter, he says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered, bringing forth that truth, as he hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Arm your mind in that same way. Equip your mind. Have a mindset that the Lord is my Savior. I follow Him. He is my Master. If He suffered, then I'll need to suffer likewise. The servant is not greater than the Master. And so we are to have that mindset, that we would have our minds equipped, that we are to suffer with the Lord as well. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. One of the beautiful things of suffering is it helps us and it brings to focus our Lord and our Savior. It helps us to focus upon Him, knowing that He suffered immensely, greatly. He took the burden of the entire world, their sin upon Himself, that He might save those that would believe in Him. He suffered immensely, physical pain, and in many other aspects. And so we are to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. Be active participants also in the thought that we are to suffer with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are to be faithful in that and leaning upon Him. Certainly this flesh doesn't want to suffer. our flesh desires to escape suffering. Suffering is painful sensations, and the flesh doesn't like painful sensations. We like things to be smooth and easy and well. But when we equip our mind with the mindset of Jesus Christ and follow in the will of God, that the Lord then draws us to Him, and we overcome the desires to sin that the flesh desires so much. And so he's saying, he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Suffering refines us. Suffering draws us to the Lord. Suffering repels the world from God in their carnal mind. But for the believer, suffering draws us to the Lord. And we understand the love that He has for us. And we go through this suffering, painful sensations, but it makes us to be stronger in the Lord. When we think of a diamond is a beautiful thing. But it becomes a diamond in the earth's mantle when it is subject to great temperatures and great pressures. The carbon atoms bind together very strongly underneath these extreme pressures and temperatures of 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit plus. That's how a diamond becomes beautiful, as it's subject to these pressures and these temperatures. Likewise for us, we can glorify the Lord when we go through things that are extreme duress, difficulty, for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. We bring Him that honor and that glory. And so we can then commit our souls to the Lord through this, knowing that it is according to the will of God, and He is a faithful Creator. We should no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We're here upon this earth for just a short duration. When we consider eternity, when we consider the scope and the timeline, if we can even use that word timeline, because there is no timeline with the Lord, there is no beginning, there is no end. But when we think of our life, it's just short. And there is an end that's coming. So we should live then the rest of our time to the will of God, and not in the flesh to the lust of the men, but to the will of God. Whatever the Lord would have, knowing that the Lord is good, knowing that the Lord has never made a mistake, knowing that the Lord loves us, we are to live our lives according to His will, giving our lives completely over to Him. And if we suffer, we suffer. But we are giving our lives completely over to Him. Let His will be done in our lives. He goes further on and says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in these carnal things that give pleasure to the flesh for just a short time. And then comes a judgment. Lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. And those who we were once with, when we did these things in our former lives, they think it's strange that you're running not to the same excess of riot with them, and then they speak evil of you. Sometimes it's hard for us to have someone speak evil against us. Sometimes that's hard. But sometimes we can just simply dismiss it for what it is. Here's a person that's in a carnal state of mind. He has a very small bandwidth, can't understand what eternity is like, and he's speaking evil against us. That might be some level of suffering. But again, let's compare that to what the Lord suffered and what He went through, that we might have life, and that eternally. They shall give an account to Him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. And so he's speaking here of suffering and that we should remove ourselves from sin, that we should allow his design for suffering in our lives to make us to be something beautiful in his sight, something that it brings honor and glory to him, even as a diamond is beautiful in its way. But the end of all things is at hand. And let's remember that. It's all going to come to an end. Everything that we know is going to be over. It's as thinking of the world as it's terminally ill. Death is coming, and swiftly. This world is will soon be gone. So he's saying here, the end of all things is at hand. So let's remember that when we're suffering. Let's remember that when we're going through a trial, that everything is in this life will soon be past. It will soon be past. So let's look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who is that faithful creator, the founder of all things. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We're looking to Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he is crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Through suffering. The captain of our salvation, the one who has achieved eternal life for us, he became perfected, he became complete. By what means? By suffering. There's another verse that's not coming to mind right now that speaks of the sufferings of Christ and that he had achieved for us. but we know that the Lord did suffer, and he suffered much for us. And when he suffered, he didn't threaten. He didn't threaten those that platted a crown of thorns upon his head. He didn't threaten them. Although he had all power, he didn't threaten them. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians, we are followers of his. He left us an example that he suffered for us, and that we should be armed with that same mind, equipped, having that mindset that we will suffer for him. Now, with suffering, we are to do well, even as we read in that last verse. Commit the keeping of our souls in well-doing. Not only to stay away from revelings and excess of wines, not only to stay away from that, but we are to exercise ourselves in well-doing. And so now again, in verse number 7, he's saying, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Now he's speaking of things that we can do in well-doing and give God the glory. Give God the glory. We can be sober. We can be of a sound mind. A sound mind. Understanding what leads us away from the Lord. Simply desiring ease. Desiring ease leads us away from the Lord. Desiring that we would have no painful sensations can lead us away from the Lord. And so we are to have a sober mind and think of these things. Am I looking to skirt some things that maybe the will of God is asking me to go through this difficulty? So we are to be sober-minded, of a sound mind, and watching unto prayer, knowing that the time is at hand. And so we are to watch in prayer. And just as the Apostle John concluded Revelations, that we would have that mindset that even so, come Lord Jesus. We want the Lord to come. We want this all to end. The end of all things is at hand. And then he says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We are to have great, great love one for another, even as Jesus Christ had great, great love for us, each and every one, for the whole world. He died upon a cross because he loved us. And his desire is that we would have love one for another. We are all unique from each other, and yet we are to all have love one for another. This is what the Lord would have. This is how the Lord is glorified. This is the will of God, that we would have fervent love one toward another, that we would have in mind that the second greatest commandment is that we would love our neighbor as ourself. Maybe different. He's maybe different than me. Maybe he has a different approach or a different outlook on things. Maybe his experiences in life brings him to a different thought than what I have. I am to love him. I am actually to have fervent charity toward him or her. We are to love our neighbor as ourself. If I know that the Lord loves me, and he loves me so much that Jesus Christ died upon a cross for me, that my sins might be forgiven, I need to know that the Lord did that for my neighbor as well. He did it for me, he did it for my neighbor as well. And the Lord is well pleased when he sees that we have fervent charity then one toward another. There's a reason why it says here, as the oracles of God, that above all things, we would have fervent charity among ourselves. It says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. God has given each of us gifts. God has given us the ability to build out his kingdom. And they're all unique. When we're young, it may be one set of gifts. When we get middle-aged, those gifts could slightly change. And then when we get older, those gifts could change yet again. We don't all have the same gifts, and our gifts differ one for another, or one from each other. But the apostles were given direction to go out and preach the kingdom of God. And they were given gifts of healing. They were given gifts of doing good. And then Jesus told them, freely ye have received, freely give. And we have received. We have received it. It's not something that we procured of ourselves, that we built up of ourselves, but we received these gifts from the Lord. And so as we have received, let us freely give likewise. And do it all to the honor and to the glory of God. If any man have received the gift, even so, minister the same one to another. Our mindset is, as we have fervent charity one toward another, God has given me gifts, how can I bless somebody else? How can I encourage them in their faith? How can I do something good for them? How does the Lord want to use me that I might encourage somebody in their faith and build them up in their faith? And then it says that as we do these things, that we would do it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. These gifts have been given unto us by the grace of God. But we are to be faithful stewards, good stewards, using these things that God has given unto us to his honor and to his glory, to the edification of the body of Christ, and to drawing those who know him not unto him, all by the grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, the word of God. Again, we all might have thoughts, and the experiences in life that we have had may bring us to some experiences, some thoughts, and some conclusions. But ours is to speak the oracles of God, the true Word of God, the Word of God that gives life, even with humility. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and forever. All these things that we do for the Lord, we're suffering in His name. We are aligning ourselves with Jesus Christ. We are looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end of our faith. We are looking unto Him. And we are aligning ourselves with Him. And we are suffering with Him when need be. And then we do these good works. And we have fervent charity among ourselves. And we're using the gifts that God has given unto us to His honor and to His glory, to the edification of the body of Christ. And then we're doing all these things that God would be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. That God, through Jesus Christ, would be glorified. To whom be praise and dominion forever and forever. And then he says, Amen. In the middle of the chapter, he says, Amen. Meaning, so let it be. Let it be that we give God the honor and the glory as we suffer with Jesus Christ and as we use the gifts and the talents that the Lord has given unto us to His honor and to His glory. Furthermore, he says now, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Think of Job. Job went through some fiery trials. Not one, but more than one. There was one that came to him and he was successful in that fiery trial, and then yet another one came. And there were no answers. We know the answers because we've read the book. But there were no answers for him at the time. And he was suffering. He had painful sensations in a significant manner. He asked why. But then he moved on. We can ask why in some of our sufferings. But then we need to move on and know that we have this opportunity. We have an opportunity to glorify the Lord even through our sufferings. And you know, I've said it multiple times and I'll say it yet again. The sufferings that we have to go through are minimal compared with the glories of heaven. The Bible makes that very clear. I think of it as a small valley, a little valley. And we're going down in this valley and yeah, there's shadows and it's a little bit difficult. But at the end of our lives, we will have glory that is a part of a mountaintop that will go on throughout all eternity. It will go on throughout all eternity, that glorious mountaintop. So that little bit of suffering that we go through in this life can't compare. Romans 8:18 says, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glories that shall be revealed in us. So may God give us grace as we may have to suffer for His name's sake. And then he says, as if we go through this fiery trial, that we shouldn't think of it as something strange that happened unto us. But he says, but rejoice, rejoice. And Christ says that in the Sermon on the Mount, rejoice when you go through these things and they persecute you and cast you out. And he says, as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When the end of all things is at hand, and Christ comes in the power and the glory of His Father in the clouds, and with the angels with Him, and the trumpet shall sound, and there's great glory, that we would rejoice with Him. That we would rejoice with Him. And that we would have exceeding joy in that moment and then throughout all eternity. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Again, this is all in the name of Christ. If in the name of Christ. And in chapter 2 of this book, he speaks it. If we're buffeted for our faults, what glory is it? if we have to endure being buffeted for our faults. But this is all in the name of Christ. So if we're reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On your part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. That's our objective in this life, to glorify the Lord. If it be through suffering, when it is through good works, we are to glorify the Lord. And the Spirit of glory and of Christ will rest upon us. And we rejoice in these things that the Lord is doing for us. And then he says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. So we think, okay, well, I'm certainly not one who would murder somebody. But John in his epistle says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. If we're lacking that fervent charity one toward another, we become a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so he's saying here, suffer, do good, but do not allow yourselves to be a murderer or as a thief. And then again, let's not think of, well, I didn't steal anything of significance from somebody else. But it is possible that we can steal somebody's joy or peace. We could steal that from him by maybe some behaviors of ours or maybe some liberties that we're taking. We could be a thief in that way and be a stumbling block. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For suffering as a Christian... If we're suffering as a Christian, we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be ashamed. We can glorify the Lord. We can bring unto his name, to whom belongs power and dominion forever and forever, we can bring glory to him. And that is our desire. That is our desire. And so again, we come to the last verse again. Wherefore, because of all these things, let them that suffer according to the will of God, however the will of God would be for us, commit the keeping of our souls, that which is eternal, to him. Commit the keeping of our souls to him, to God, in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Let us do good. Let us couple the suffering of the Lord with doing good. Let us look to our Lord and let us magnify his name. In the next chapter, chapter 5, verse number 10, it says, but the God of all grace, the God who gives an abundant amount of grace, all grace, grace that we so cherish in this life, that is of great value to us. He called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Then he says, after that ye have suffered a while, meaning you may suffer, but it's just going to be for just a short time. Just suffer for a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. This is what God wants in our lives. That we would glorify him. That we would magnify his name, and that we would then become perfect, complete in him, complete, established in this faith, not moved from it, strengthened in him. Because we're looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and then who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So we are strengthened. We are strengthened in him. And then we are settled. We simply just have peace in the Lord. The flesh is not appreciating very much these painful sensations, but we're peaceful in the Lord. were settled in him. Some may think that, well, God is sadistic. He wants to see his people suffering. That's not so. That's not so. God designs us to become beautiful in his sight. God wants to mold us and to make us as into beautiful diamonds, and if it be through great pressures and great temperatures, that we would become what his will is for us. And he really, really loves us. Really, really loves us in such a way that he wants to bring us to this place where we can be beautiful in his sight. He is a faithful creator. He is the founder of all things. And he wants to bring us unto him. He wants to bring us unto him. This world is quickly coming to an end. It's terminally ill. It will perish soon. And this is the word of God. This is the word of God. And this is the word of God which is preached unto you. Let's be faithful and receive it with joy in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
Truly, the Lord knows what we need to hear. Instruction for our life to bring us back to that one who keeps our souls. The Lord Jesus Christ is beautiful to see that when one arms himself with the mind of Christ, all of these beautiful fruit follow. And if one would trace all these fruits and ask why, it will lead back to one purpose and one vision, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless his word.